Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to actor Barry Livingston, best known as Ernie, the youngest child on the 1960s sitcom My Three Sons, starring Fred McMurray. Stick around. I can't wait to hear the truth about Uncle Charlie. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by the Stitcher app for mobile devices. Give it a test drive today at stitcher.com/mrmedia, Mr. Media. I love this free radio app, and I think you will too. stitcher.com/mrmedia. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of real live actors from TV's golden age who still see the world in black and white in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Still with me, huh?
I'm there.
All right.
I see the world more than through black and white, though, frankly. <That's okay. laughs> I get your colorful literary context, but yes.
Not a problem at all. Let me see here. and you know what? I just want to make sure one thing. My memory on this could be bad. Your brother played Chip?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why that, you know, I trust my memory for the most part, but I just, and I didn't go and look it up just to be sure, but I was pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stanley Livingston
Stanley Livingston.
We're connected.
Your poor brother.
Yeah, I know. Cruel parents. My mother, they must have been having a few too many drinks that night. Although, you know, it was probably you got to go back, what, 60 years, I guess, and go, Stanley Livingston was still sort of a folkloric, hero in the world, and it's only become kind of a joke in probably the last 30 years or so. But at that time, it was, like naming somebody after Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I may bring that back up again. We'll see if we go,
okay.
If we go there.
You don't have to go there. That
okay.
was just my weird kind of thing.
No,
you can drop that.
It was on my mind as I was writing this, and I thought, All right. So this will be the real introduction, and we'll start talking right from this.
All right.
If you're my age, you know what it was like to watch TV shows such as My Three Sons when they were originally broadcast in the 1960s and 70s. And if you know my age, keep it to yourself. The truth hurts. Although I was the oldest of three siblings, I have to admit I always identified best with the youngest of actor Fred McMurray's three sons on the show, Ernie, played by my guest today, Barry Livingston. Ernie wore the glasses, as did I, had issues with his teeth, as did I, and always seemed a bit awkward, as did I. And where he had Uncle Charlie to keep him and his two older brothers out of trouble, I had my, not quite as grumpy, grandfather. It was, in TV terms, a kinder, gentler time, even as the Vietnam War, civil rights, and the counterculture revolution raged in the real America. And Barry co-starred on the show with his older brother, Stanley, who played middle son, Chip. Since those days, Barry Livingston has remained front and center in pop culture. He has a role in ABC's hit drama, Castle, and plays a part in Ben Affleck's new film, Argo. He's also appeared in episodes of Mad Men, Two and a Half Men, and movies such as Horrible Bosses and the David Fincher film, The Social Network, about the origins of Facebook. And, can't miss this, he's also written a book, The Importance of Being Ernie, From My Three Sons to Mad Men, A Hollywood Survivor Tells All. Barry Livingston, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you very much. Sounds very nice.
Well, I was thinking we'll talk about My Three Sons soon enough, but I mean, how surprised are most people to learn that Ernie is in everything from Mad Men to Castle and even this new film Argo?
Well, thanks to you and others in your profession, that word gets out. I just have been a character actor from day one. From the very start, very first film I did, Rally Around the Flag Boys, to the Ozzie and Harriet Show, My Three Sons, the Lucy shows, through playing nerds and kind of goofy characters in, Two and a Half Men and Castle and Grey's Anatomy and all that. So, there's a line there. There's some line of continuity. Most people, are surprised to hear that I've been working you know, quite prolifically in the last 20 years, 25 years, really. Honestly, I've never done anything but act since My Three Sons went off in 1972.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, there's a lot of men and women who, you know, came up as kind of child stars who, you know, there are a lot of different stories, obviously. We all know them. Some have gone on to bigger and better things. Some have not done so well in life and in career. And what I find interesting is a lot of folks in that situation, they may keep working in Hollywood, but they're not working in really prime places. You know, they're mm-hmm. in those straight-to-DVD projects,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
or they're on, you know, maybe they're on the CW in a show that no one's heard of, or, you know, things like that. I mean,
yeah.
looking through the stuff that you've done, particularly in recent years, and we could go even further back, it's kind of remarkable how you've, you know, landed in a lot of good stuff.
Well, you know, when I'm always looking forward. You know, I'm a forward kind of mentality person, even in the times when I wasn't working as much as I do now. You know, I was always thinking, you know, that not dwelling in the past, I guess. And so when I started to write the book, The Importance of Being Ernie, it shocked me. You know, honestly, I don't dwell on it. I don't dwell on, you know, Simon and Heart to Heart, or you know, Lois and Clark, the new Superman, stuff that I did 25, 30 years ago. So when I sat down and started putting things in a little bit of chronological order, it was surprising. You know, it really was. You know, I just have had an extraordinary string of luck. And then, yes, you know, in recent years to be in such great company as David Fincher, directing Social Network and Zodiac, and people like Robert Downey Jr. and Mark Ruffalo, and some of the, you know, real top stars, Adam Sandler. I'm very lucky, and I have found most of those people all have followed my career and have been, you know, started as fans for My Three Sons. So, you know, what to some people, you were in a hit sitcom as a kid, maybe it was a liability and turned into just a, you know, a nightmare of horrible things in their lives. I tried to spin into a positive, and I kept, you know, trying to move past that, but not deny it. You know, it really is the start for me, and opened a lot of doors. And, you know, it's interesting how it all comes back. You know, people today are just still very impressed by My Three Sons, and probably the fact that I'm still alive and still here. You know, that part of it I think shocks people too. But you know, it's been a pleasure. It's been a great ride.
Well, and I as soon as the question left my mouth, I thought, you know, Bob, it doesn't sound like you're giving him credit for talent. You're just saying that he's done, isn't it amazing? He's done all this stuff. Obviously, you have to be able, you have to know what you're doing, not just to get a lot of work, but to, you know, to get good work.
I work at it though. You know, I mean, I guess I can't help but compare myself to my peers, but I know a lot of guys that came off hit television shows and then just assumed that people were going to hand them, you know, the next starring role in the next big hit series or movie. And I think my parents, who came from a theater background, actually movie theaters, they own movie theaters in Baltimore in the 30s and 40s. And, you know, they were somewhat aware of what the industry, how it works. And although they, you know, they were hardly insiders and, you know, open doors, but they were aware that, you know, you've got to get your chops. You know, you can't just, if you want to stay in the business, you better learn acting. You can't just rely on being the cute kid that you were at 11 years old when you're 22. So, I went off to New York and I worked on Broadway and did a lot of theater and studied with people like Martin Landau and Jack Garfine, people, you know, come up through the actor studio and a lot of other people, you know. So, you know, I took it pretty serious when My Three Sons went off the air that I better develop my what little talent that I have or a large talent that I have. You got to do something with it. You just can't ride and rest on your laurels. And that was great advice. And, you know, fortunately for me, I think I've cultivated my talent and people recognize that.
And I have to ask, I mean, did you pick up things as a young man on that show, on My Three Sons, from, I mean, obviously, you work with Fred McMurray,
yeah.
But I mean...
Well, I picked up smoking a pipe, you know, from Fred McMurray. That was
Yeah, but what did the two of you put in your pipes in those days? That's what I want to know.
Well, I'll tell you what. In the 60s, you put something a little bit different in your pipe that Fred McMurray was smoking. the things that I picked up from the great actors that I had the opportunity to watch, you probably just absorb that without even consciously thinking you're trying to learn something from William Frawley or William Demarest or Lucille Ball or Dick Van Dyke, some of the people that I wrote about in the book and people that I had the opportunity to work with on a professional level, and you hope some of that rubs off. So yeah, I'm sure, that was part of it, but Fred never said, come here, Barry, I'm going to teach you comedy or anything like that, the tricks of the trade. But you watch, and you certainly, the show was off for 12 years and I was on it for 8. So I guess I learned something, without even trying.
Well, and part of, what I guess I wonder, I imagine what other people wonder, especially in retrospect, you think of a guy like Fred McMurray or Demarest or Frawley, or any of those guys doing a show like this at that point in their careers, were they showing up for a paycheck at that point? Was this more about being a paycheck than anything?
I just think this was their profession. This is what they did. It's like, what else are you going to do? And, they had been stars, both of them, Frawley, Demarest, McMurray, for probably 25, 30 years prior to My Three Sons, which came on in 1960. So, yeah, I think that they like to work. And I think in McMurray's case, he just wanted to, he wanted both things. He wanted to have his family time and still continue to work, and television provided that opportunity for him that he was able to stay in town. Because when you do a movie, suddenly you're, sitting in Casablanca for 6 months, or somewhere far from home. And he had just adopted a couple of twin girls, and so I think in his mind, he wanted to work. It wasn't like that was far from his. And I know Fred loved to make money. That was near and dear to his heart, holding on to every penny. He was famously frugal, and probably the wealthiest guy in Hollywood. Probably wealthier than Bob Hope, who at the time was always referred to as probably the richest man in town. I think all those guys, it was just a continuation of a long career to them, and they, I want to be the guy who dropped dead in front of, Hollywood and Vine when I'm 99 years old on location, shooting some sci-fi film or something. I have no intention to retire because I love what I do, and I've been lucky to get to do it.
I'm kind of curious about another Fred McMurray question, sort of, but it's also about you. Growing up with the show, as I did and you did on the show, you think of Fred McMurray until you're more mature as, he's the dad of My Three Sons. But then as you get a little older, you start running across his film work before that, Double Indemnity and the James M. Cain stuff. When do you start to discover that this guy who's been kind of who the country thinks of as your dad, that he had this whole other career? When did you come upon that kind of material?
My parents were very savvy to film. I was in an environment where, they talked about actors and particularly character actors, probably more than the leading men because they were so well-versed in movies. They watch movies, from sun up until sundown in their movie theaters. So we were aware of Fred McMurray, even at the tender age of 10 years old, where I came to be on My Three Sons, I certainly knew him from all the Disney movies. Mm-hmm. That was right in my wheelhouse of, what I was loving at that time. The Absent-Minded Professor and Flubber and the Shaggy Dog and all the Disney movies. So, I knew he was a big star, and even still, I probably had heard of or even seen films like The Egg and I and The Apartment came out around that time. So the deference of people, the respect of people around you, that how they interacted with McMurray, you went, well, this obviously is a guy who's very well respected and earned his stripes in the business. So, it wasn't like, whoa, suddenly I had no idea who McMurray was before I came to the show. And, And, you know, it was a big deal. In My Three Sons in 1964, a big movie star, to do television on a regular basis was very unusual. It was almost considered, you know, like a step down in somebody's career until the show became such a phenomenon, you know, became one of the top-rated shows. Of course, the stature of being in a hit series is nice, but, you know, it's risky. Had Fred done in My Three Sons in a television series and it flopped, it really would have been probably a black mark on his reputation as, gee, his career looks like it's over. But instead, you know, it opened up a whole new, you know, and the 60s, television in the 60s, you know, was just all over. You know, that was the culture in the 60s where you'd have 30, 40 million people watching your show week in and week out. Today, if you get, you know, 6 million people that watch Vegas or, you know, Grey's Anatomy, you know, 10 million people, they consider that a huge success. So, you know, it was a great time to be on a television series, and it certainly, you know, a lot of people were exposed to all of our work.
You know, I was thinking, I talked to Lloyd Schwartz a few years ago. You probably know, but for others who don't, his dad, Sherwood Schwartz, created Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch, and Lloyd had talked about in his book and to me about what a jerk Robert Reed was as the dad on the Brady Bunch.
That's not true. I actually was sort of being an apprentice director on an episode of Murder, She Wrote, and he was an actor in it. And although I didn't have much, you know, interchange with him because I was just there to observe, I kind of noted he was kind of surly and grumpy and weird, and you know, I just went, well, I'm glad I'm not the official director of this episode, because he struck me as kind of aloof and a little bit difficult.
So you got that's interesting, but, yeah. So you got that even then, and that's the kind of thing that supposedly he liked to do.
Yeah, I don't know what the issues were. I mean, you know, he was a very talented guy, you know, but there are people like that. You come across people in the business that you're shocked to find out. You know, when you see them on screen and they're funny and light-hearted and you know, in all good times. And then, you know, you're kind of struck by the fact that in their personal lives, they maybe are kind of surly and a little bit remote. And that, you know, that's in contrast to what their public persona might be. Yeah, you know, it's just what acting is, I guess. Isn't it? They have that ability to be happy on screen and they're pretty miserable in their real lives.
How did that description that we both apparently had of Robert Reed compare to you know, Fred McMurray as a
Well, McMurray was a very private. There was a bit of a contrast there because he was a shy man. He was very, very quiet, reserved. You got the sense he really wasn't you know, at that point in his life, was probably when he started on My Three Sons, his early 50s. He just wanted to go home. You know, he had no desire to hang out at the Brown Derby or go to the Coconut Grove or wherever people were going in that era and party and make connections. He just, you know, it was a job to him. He loved his job. You know, he'd come to work, say his lines, you know, go back to his trailer, and he'd bring a brown bag lunch every day. You know, he was a very kind of simple guy. And again, you know, didn't socialize in any, you know, we were never invited to his house for a barbecue or, you know, and he just understood that's who he was. And he was still a very affable, nice man, you know, but he wasn't that gregarious, out big personality, say, like, you know, working with Mickey Rooney, which I did a Dick Powell theater with him. And, you know, he was manic. He was all over the set. He was loud. You could hear him, you know, blocks away laughing and telling stories and you know, McMurray was the flip side of that. But on screen, you know, he was a very kind of open, you know, very funny, you know, but he had that kind of a bumbling kind of character. But, you know, in real life, it was maybe just a part of him, but in real life, he was much more reserved and you know, a little standoffish, you know, even, like I say, to the boys, you know, on the show, I always felt like he was the CEO and we were just junior executives in the firm, so there was, you know, a professional distance, but, you know, respect, and you know, he was just a star, and you kind of accepted that and got on with your life.
Well, and speaking of real life, Barry, tell me about working with your actual brother, Stanley, on the show.
Well, that was great, you know, and you know, that's prior to My Three Sons, we were on the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Mm-hmm. And Stan actually started on that show before me, and the Nelsons, and I was already working in films with Debbie Reynolds called My Six Loves, and Errand Boy with Jerry Lewis, Papa's Delicate Condition with Jackie Gleason, and things that I wrote about in the book, if anyone's interested in checking my book out. So, you know, I was really working with a lot of icons. And then Stan, when he got cast in My Three Sons, Ozzie Nelson was looking for somebody else to play the little boy, you know, the neighbor boy. And then I came on as almost Stan's replacement on that show. So, you know, we shared a lot of common things. My brother was, you know, my big brother, you know, my hero. And I wanted to be where he was all the time. So what a thrill, you know. I spent about 3 years on Ozzie and Harriet, and then when they were casting around to add another character to My Three Sons, which I came on as the neighbor boy in My Three Sons, and then the next year I was adopted as Ernie. So to be with my brother was great, you know, and then after My Three Sons, I tell you, that's, you know, that was a hard time. The fame goes away, all the perks and everybody's, you know, opening doors for you and getting the best table, that disappears pretty quickly. And so that shock, you know, to your whole way of life, because you get used to it, it's nice, it's comforting. Going away, it was weird. But having my brother, who really had gone through the exact same thing as me, was a very consoling experience. You know, we could laugh at the ridiculousness of it. It's painful sometimes, but, you know, it was somebody to commiserate with. And I think that really helped me look at the business differently and not succumb to some giant depression that, you know, that could have been my downfall. So, yeah, we're very close today. It's been great.
Well, I was going to ask, and what, you know, what path did he take? Because I'm honestly not familiar with what he's done since then.
Well, he's been in, you know, he went more behind the camera and has produced and directed some projects. You know, not all high profile, but frankly, you can make a living in this town, you know, doing a lot of different things. And so he's been directing and producing throughout the years, and you know, that seemed to be his forte. Mailman just arrived.
Oh, your house too? Good. See it. If I ever have to rewrite the introduction to this show, I will add that we both have dogs who bark at the mailman.
They love the mailman. Yeah.
You know, I saw that earlier this year the LA City Council had declared My Three Sons Day. I don't mean to complain, but what the hell took them so long?
Well, you know, the wheels of government turn very slowly. So. Who knows? You know, honestly, we have some friends down the street. This is how sometimes these things work. And they were, you know, they realized they had the book. They were asking me if they could help to do any publicity. And they said, you know, we know one of the councilmen down at LA, and I think he's a huge fan of My Three Sons. And some, you know, they put a bug in his ear, and they said, you know, Barry's got a book. It was kind of, I think it was the 50th anniversary of the show going off. The show went off in 1972. Mm-hmm. And the event was in 2012, this year. So, you know, it's kind of 50 years since My Three Sons went off the air. There's, you know, they're always looking for some angle, some kind of epoch or era that could come to an end. And so, you know, that was part of it. And it was just acknowledging My Three Sons' contribution to the city of Los Angeles, because, frankly, it provided a lot of people with a lot of work and generated a lot of income for the city, and became, you know, a worldwide commodity that somehow reflects nicely on Los Angeles and Hollywood.
This is not normally my forte, but I'm going to do a math check on you. I think it was 40 years.
See, 2002, well, it went off in 72. Yeah, I guess you're right. It was 52 when it came. Well, it came in 1960, so that would be 52. Right, 40 years. Thank you.
All right, just checking. Like I said, that's not normally one of my strong
talents. I don't want to be... Definitely don't want to be 10 years older than what I am right now. So, yeah, it was 40 years.
And what would a blooper reel from My Three Sons look like? Meaning, who would be on it most often, who'd be screwing up the most, and who the least?
Well, it'd probably be Bill Frawley swearing, you know, who writes this crap anyway, that kind of stuff. Him blowing his line and then going, who got the lousy writer who wrote this crap? I can't say these lines. And, So it would probably, Frawley would probably have the funniest screw-ups. McMurray, you know, everybody, those are the funny moments when you're trying to get something, the breaking up laughing, you know, that it was a fun set. You know, there was no rivalry between the brothers of my part's bigger than your part, and you got more scripts around you. I don't recall any of that at all. And it was, you know, it just seemed like there was a very, and I think McMurray set the tone for that again, too. He was very placid, but still, you know, he was the guy calling the shots. But, you know, he set the tone for a very undramatic kind of back story to the workings of the show. So, you know, there was no, like, you know, no histrionics of divas. No divas allowed.
Well, and I want to wrap up by coming all the way current. This past Friday, as we're recording this, the movie Argo with Ben Affleck opened. You've got a role in that. It must be pretty exciting to see something like that catch people's imagination, as it has.
Well, yeah, I was when I came in to read for it, and I was thrilled to hear, you know, the casting director said Ben had seen The Social Network. He really liked that movie, and he asked, you know, were you available to come and read for a part? And so I was like, really? Wow, okay, cool. You know, you wonder how sometimes you get a call to come in on these things, and most times you never find out. So, you know, and I heard the story of, you know, about the hostages that escaped in the takeover of the embassy in 1979 in Iran, and then the crazy way the CIA got these people out. I went, oh my gosh, you know, I got to be in this movie. You know, I mean, really, really, that doesn't necessarily mean you get the part just because you say, I want to be in this movie. But fortunately, it worked out, and what a thrill. You know, the movie has just gotten absolutely rave reviews. It's funny, just being in The Social Network a few years prior, that movie in a different, you know, it's a different kind of film, but it's, you know, a very serious-minded movie that definitely got Oscar potential. But it also seemed to catch, you know, an interesting era that was happening in real life, because Facebook was just becoming such a phenomenon. And, you know, a couple of years ago, it just became, you know, larger than life. And then suddenly I was in a movie that was mirroring that. And, you know, sadly, there's events around the world, you know, in the Middle East that are very much closely making Argo even more relevant. You know, because it takes place in 1979, but it's certainly relevant to the times that we live in. So, you know, what a joy to be in two such movies that I think, you know, are worthy of Oscars. And, you know, thrilled. You know, couldn't be happier.
That's good stuff. And so, last but not least, what's next for you? What do you have coming up?
I got another movie actually coming out this month called Fun Size, which is more of a family film, kind of related to Halloween, and then it's got a slew of episodic things that are kind of in the hopper. I just did It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Really?
Mistresses. Yeah, fun working with Danny DeVito, and Mistresses will be out, I believe, next year. I think it's a replacement series of a Hallmark Channel movie I did called Two In, which should be coming out, I think, in the next few months sometimes. I did another thing that was really cool with this guy, this new comedian who's in Rolling Stone, the hottest new comedian in the country, which, of course, I had never heard of. So, you know, I'm like a groundhog, just, you know, stick my hand up above ground occasionally and go, oh, really? But a guy named Kevin Hart, and
sure.
A series he did called Real Husbands of Hollywood. And it sounds like it's reality, but it's not. It's scripted. And so I play a book publisher who's involved in his life. A bunch of things coming up, but the Argo is the one that's out now, and Fun Size will be later in October of this year.
That's great. Well, folks, listen, you can find The Importance of Being Ernie, From My Three Sons to Mad Men, A Hollywood Survivor Tells All, by Barry Livingston, in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. Just look down on the page.
That's great.
You'll see it there. Can people find you online? Do you have a website, Twitter, Facebook, anything?
You know, there is a website, and honestly, you know, there are probably bookstores. I don't know what it's like in your neck of the woods, but the bookstores are closing, you know, left and right. I can't even talk about Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com usually have it online as well. but they're, you know, it's out there. It's, you know, it's you can find it if you look for it. There's a website, theimportanceofbeingernie.com. I don't sell the book there, but you can learn a little bit more about the book, and there are links that'll definitely take you to places you can purchase it.
That's great. Well, Barry Livingston, thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, it was fun. Thank you.
Thank you. You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Mark Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, The TechCrunch Headlines, and The Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm Tippi Hedren. And if I want to watch anything really scary or listen to anything really, really scary, I listen to Mr. Media.